720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane here, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. Excited to be with you today on another beautiful day as we get into some of those later days in, it's sad. It's a later day. It seems like it's still hot. It's still summer. It is early August, and so hopefully we can kind of enjoy the rest of it, and the weather is great, and get out there with your family, take some road trips, see some racing here, maybe have some great barbecue. Gonna have a really cool and eclectic blend on the show today. As mentioned a little bit with Scott, is coming up in just a second ago. We're going to talk with Elisa Noel. She is with the Street Outlaws, No Prep Kings. You know them as one of the top shows that has been on the Discovery Channel, and people watch it. It's destination television, and they're at destinations around the country and in Chicago at Route 66 yesterday and today. They are here this weekend, so excited to check in with all the excitement here. For that, we're going to talk a little barbecue with Artie Davis. You know him as Remus Powers, PHB, one of the kind of the founding members of the situational competition for KCBS, and he's the guy that actually wrote the oath that the judges take for competitions all around the country. So we'll be talking with him. And again, we mentioned Jan Kemmerling coming up a little bit after 2:30, talking about some great places to go and road trips, and Wayne Messmer as well. So no further ado, we're going to get her on the line. She is live out of Route 66 Raceway, home of so much great racing here in the Chicagoland area, and it's the home for the Street Outlaws, No Prep Kings. Elisa, welcome to WGN.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Well, thanks for being here. This is the kind of thing, and for the listeners, maybe the uninitiated, it's the guys out there in the 405 Oklahoma City all kind of working together and against each other to maintain their position on the list and taking on all comers. But now with this new, with the No Prep Kings and the tour that you guys are doing, they're putting kind of their money where their mouth is, and they're getting out there and, you know, taking the competition to great tracks around the country.
Yep, we want to put on a great show for our fans. We've taken it live, so we are doing a live TV filming right now at Joliet Speedway, Route 66. The stands are packed. We still have people coming in. The gates are open. We have every ticket type available. We've got every possible ticket, VIP, starting line access, everything to get close to the drivers. It's a really good time out here right now, and the weather is beautiful.
Yeah, Route66Raceway.com. Now, describe a little bit about it, because there's great racing action with some of, you know, the favorite, you know, iconic drivers from all the different series in NHRA. But this is an opportunity not only to get out there and see these guys, but actually you've got people that are competing from the area. So there's people from the Chicagoland area that are going in and actually being a part of the show and competing.
Yes, yeah, so we have a really cool thing. Like, we've got our what we call our OG street racers. These are our cast members that everyone gets to watch on Street Outlaws. We've been watching them for years. If you're a fan of drag racing, more than likely you've seen the Street Outlaws on Discovery Channel. So, you know, it's the Chuck Seisinger, Chief is out here. You know, all the big names are out here, right here on the property. But we've got some locals that are coming to race our future Street Outlaw class, which is so cool because it gives them a shot to get into the big show. So what that is they get to race. If they get to a certain point, they will be selected to race the Street Outlaws in an actual, you know, battle for $40,000. And it's just amazing. And it's all going to be televised for TV on Discovery Channel.
What has been some of the feedback from the guys? Because, you know, so much about it is that racing culture, that sort of phenomenon that happens at OKC and the 405 and everything that happens there. But here they are traveling around the country. So I'm sure they're excited not only to get out there and meet a lot of fans, but also to see some of these great tracks around the country and kind of see just how racing happens in other places.
I'll tell you what, we love it. We get to go all over the country. We just left Idaho, which was a whole new experience for all of us. And, I mean, it's amazing to see the fan base from place to place and the enthusiasm that comes with them. And that is honestly why we do what we do. Because, you know, they can keep it a street show, but why don't we want to, you know, put the fans in the seats and let them see some real drag racing, you know, from the stars that they watched for 6 years, essentially. So, I mean, the feedback is great. We're creating new fans every time we put these events together. We're creating new drag racing fans that may not be really drag racing fans otherwise, and that is very exciting for us.
So places like Idaho, Colorado, Ohio, Florida, so everybody around the country, all those fan bases getting an opportunity. You can still get out to Route 66 Raceway and go to Route66Raceway.com for all the information and directions from wherever you may be coming. It's conveniently located and accessible from all over the place. You can get out there, but you know, for those people that are hearing this and want to to learn a little bit more about it, is there some websites, social media you can suggest, Elisa, for them to check out?
Yes, we do a really good job keeping our Facebook updated. So it's Street Outlaws Live. And that's where you'll find all of our scheduling, our updates. We'll update fan photos. We do contests. We do apparel giveaways. We do ticket giveaways leading into our events and stuff like that. So it's definitely worth checking out. Facebook.com/Street Outlaws Live Racing.
It's great stuff. And, of course, you'll have the schedules up there for the TV stuff. And so how long does it take for the people that are out there today enjoying it and the people that are competing? Is it a couple of few months for production before they'll see themselves on the show?
Yes, it is. It's a few months. I think that I'm not sure on the airing dates. That's kind of outside of my job is the live events. I'm the live event coordinator. Okay. But when it comes to the production side of things, I mean, it's going to air over the winter. Or into the fall and winter months is when we'll start to see them. Yep, and our last event is in Ennis, Texas. That's our finals. Tons of money is on the line. We've got these people are battling out a point series. So, you know, it's like the list or whatever. You know, you drop down because you didn't do a good job or whatever. You didn't go rounds. Your car broke or whatever. So it's a constant battle. And right now is our event number 5. So we're right in the middle of our 9-event series. And it could go either way. I mean, and just worth mentioning, a female has won 3 of these.
Wow.
Her name is Lizzie Lucy. Yes. So we've got a woman out here dominating on the big tire side of things. The invitational racing is being won by a woman right now as we speak. So it's really cool.
I'm not surprised. Great stuff happening. Some great entertainment. Yeah. Some drama built into every bit of it. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com. Elisa, enjoy the rest of the day out there with the Street Outlaws.
Thank you.
No Prep Kings. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. The gates are still open, guys. Come on out to Route 66 in Joliet.
Head out there. All right. Thanks, Elisa. All right. Head to Route66Raceway.com and get all the information. It is some really cool stuff. One of the best shows out there. And to see it live in person and some of our local favorites, right, getting in there and battling for that title and that prize money as well. We're going to take a break, and we come back when it comes to battling for titles and prize money. In the world of barbecue, the Jack is the top. They just had the draw for it, which allows a lot of these extra teams that didn't necessarily win, you know, the American Royal or didn't win, you know, Memphis in May. Or down there in Houston, and this is an opportunity. We had our grand champion from the BBQ Smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway got into the Jack. They're part of the draw. We'll talk with Artie Davis about all of it when we come back. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Artie Davis, also known as Remus Powers PHB, and I'm on the road with Dane, WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and honored to have on the line with us one of the preeminent personalities in the world of barbecue, an author. He is a founder of the American Royal International Sauce Rub and Base Contest. He is the 2016 BBQ Hall of Famer as well, the one and only Artie Davis, also known as Remus Power PHB. Artie, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you, Dane. That's a very flattering introduction.
It's just you. It's just me reading the bio. So you've come a long way, and you've done a lot of really cool stuff.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. And I'm anxious to see you this October down in Wiseman Park in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Well, for the Jack, and people who listen to the program are familiar with, you know, the Jack and what it is and what it means. And you say I'm excited to see you too. It'll be great to see you again down there. What's really exciting is for some of those teams that found out just this week that everyone will be seeing them there as part of the draw. So kind of give a little bit of a snapshot on how it works. It's different and unique to any other kind of barbecue contest for the Jack.
You can almost hear the celebrations worldwide. It's one of the most coveted contests to participate in and to judge in the world. It's the Jack Daniels qualifies anyone who's won a major barbecue contest or official state-sanctioned contest. And then all those names go into a hopper, and they're drawn, as you had mentioned, the draw happened. So the result is you get the best of the best in the whole world, because you have different countries, you have every state in the United States represented. It's just the ultimate place you want to be for great barbecue in the fall. And that's it. I haven't seen the list, but I'm excited to see it, and I know it's going to have some champions. I, I'm expecting Tuffy Stone will be there because he won Memphis in May this year.
For sure.
Grand champion.
Yeah.
So, and that's a major contest.
For
and,
those, it's if you win Memphis in May, if you win the American Royal, if you win
right.
the Houston Rodeo, then you have, you're sort of, I don't want to say grandfathered in, but you get an automatic.
Yeah, it's automatic.
Placement.
It's automatic, yeah. And then the rest you have to qualify, as I just mentioned. But yeah, there are some contests that if you win Grand Champion, you're automatically coming to the Jack. Tuffy Stone, I think, won it three times. So
yes.
And I'm hoping we see Myron Mixon there this year. And Big Bob Gibson, you know, some of the greatest teams you'll ever see end up coming to the Jack. Not every year, but some years.
If you're a fan of barbecue, and if you're a fan of some of those kind of great and iconic personalities and teams, it's great to see them there. But what's really great about it, Artie, is that you see... is that as much as other people are excited and some of the other teams are excited to see, I guess maybe, you know, some of their heroes or some of the stars of the sport, is like they seem super happy to be there too. It's an honor, regardless yes. of how big you are, even for Myron Mixon, it's an honor to be there.
That's right. Yeah, everyone who's there just feels very, very honored to be there. And, you know, there's a lot of fun. Of course, that's right near the distillery where the local product is made. And they make an exception down in Wiseman Park. The county is a dry county, but the powers that be make an exception for Wiseman Park as long as you drink responsibly and not any open containers. So it's all around great celebration.
It is. It's a setting, too, that from a travel destination, and on this show we talk about whether it's family road trips or road trip destinations, and to be there to see yeah. the Jack Daniel's distillery is really something special. It's a moment in time. So much history is captured there. And then in the hollow, as they call it, I mean, it's just a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's the fall, so the leaves are starting to turn, and you can smell that hickory smoke in the air, and you can smell some of the distillery aromas for that whiskey distilling in the distilleries. And it's just, it's hard to explain if you're not there. But you also get the aroma of funnel cakes and roasted corn and all kinds of other, you know, fried pies, great Southern foods.
It's a great festival. So, and I wanted to get this from you too, because, you know, as a person, I'm a certified barbecue judge and member of the KCBS and all that kind of stuff. And you think to yourself, like, how do you judge something that is like that prestigious? And well, you just have to have things kind of standardized and uniform so that there's, you know, so that there's a process with it and all that. And when it comes right. to the oath, it is one of the fun moments on the judge side for people to go ahead and kind of share the camaraderie that is barbecue. And also the commitment to excellence. And I mm-hmm. and you are the guy who actually came up with that, correct?
I wrote that oath in 1984 when I started the sauce contest in our backyard patio. And then later the Barbecue Society asked if they could adapt it to the oath for the judges. And I said, of course. And so it's been official ever since then. Like probably since 1988 or so.
Wow. That's crazy. You think of all the contests around the world, right? And all of those
Everyone
happening.
Everyone has to take the oath.
That's amazing. That's, you know, I think that's, yeah. that's such a cool thing. And then something that's a little bit different for the Jack too is the apron. So I have an apron
yes.
from the Jack Daniel that is signed by an Artie Davis, a Reeves Power PHB.
Yes.
And so I have one of those,
yes.
one, a coveted item, but that's something that's kind of cool and unique as you see the judges. And oftentimes there's certain barbecue stars there, but people that come from, I think, all walks of notoriety are excited
right.
to judge the Jack.
I'd say it's a microcosm of the barbecue consumer public, including, you know, some of the superstars, and everybody has a great time. It's an equal playing field for the teams as well as the judges. You know, everyone does their best.
And then before the judging starts, everyone's kind of signs. So you almost leave with what is sort of a game-used yes. jersey from a sports comparison, and it's autographed.
That's right. It's a coveted thing. You know, I gave my last year's one to my son, and it's a real treasure to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to get this from you, too, because having been there since the beginning, the guy who penned the oath that is there for every competition, and you brought up the fact that there are people around the world that are excited about participating in
yes.
the Jack from all these different countries. I think last year,
there were
20 maybe countries. And so as you've seen mm-hmm. it kind of progress, where it seems like the, you know, barbecue competition and barbecue as a sport, the interest is really increasing around the world.
It is. It's fun to, there's an international team section. It's really fun to go visit those teams as well as the other teams. And I get to do that through the distribution of the Magic Hickory Nuts. That's a tradition we only do at the Jack. And I take some hickory nuts from the local area that have been marinated in Jack Daniels and some secret seasonings, put some magic in them. And then we have the logo of the contest screen printed onto each nut. So they've become real collector's items. And I tell people, the teams, that the team that takes the magic nut wins the contest. Of course, I have to make sure every team gets a nut. Otherwise, the magic would not prevail.
It wouldn't be as verifiable. Well, I wanted to ask you this, too, is that, you know, if you're lucky enough on the team side of things and competitor to be able to participate in the Jack once, you know you're doing something. If you've been there multiple times,
right,
where you're able to develop some rituals, right, you know you're really exceptional. So talk a little bit about it, if you can share a couple of those team rituals that happen.
Well, some of the rituals are secret, but as just a general guideline, it involves some gentleman jack, usually, and some right before the term end, usually, or before they light their fires. It depends on the team. And they'll pour a round of gentleman jack and say some of their own ritual words and raise a toast and drink it down. And obviously it works for some teams because they win.
Yes. You want to do everything that you can and within your power. And for those people that want to make it down there and be a part of it all from just viewing, it's a great festival. The town itself is great. It comes alive. There's festivals, street parties, parades, and all that kind of stuff that happens during the Jack. And I think all year long, you know, the distillery is there and there's so much to see on the
history side
as well as that goes too. So Artie, we're going to let you go. Let the listeners know we're talking with Artie Davis. He is Remus Powers, PHB. He's one of the preeminent barbecue personalities. He will be front and center at the Jack, and of course you can see him as a barbecue Hall of Famer as well. So Artie, do you have any ways, like social media wise, for people to kind of keep up with you or check out the books or anything?
I'm one of those dinosaurs. You can Google my name and the books, access to the books will appear. But, I don't do the social media. I'm one of those old timers that I can hardly keep up with email. Google me and you tracked me down, so I'm trackable.
The best way to see Artie is you can see him through his books, right? And you can go to Amazon for that or Google it and find it at a bookstore near you. And then, of course, see him down in October in the Hollow at the Jack, the one and only Artie Davis. Artie, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane. We'll see you soon.
Hi, this is IndyCar driver Graham Rahal, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And Graham Rahal has got a lot of Chicago roots, a lot of Illinois roots as well. And so you know he's taken some road trips, and not all of them on tracks. And so there are so many places to go. And here on the show, you know, we talk about all sorts of different places. You can get the family in the car, in the family truckster if you have, with the optional rally fun pack, or maybe the minivan, or whatever you're going to do and get out there. We've highlighted places like, you know, Indianapolis and, of course, Florida and Kentucky and Wisconsin and those. But there are so many places that are close to home, and who has more of a hand on the pulse of anyone? No one better than Jan Kemmerling from the Illinois Office of Tourism. Jan, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you, Dane. Glad to be on.
It's great to have you on. Number one, you can talk travel. You can also talk a little bit of racing. Got to let the listeners know, in full disclosure, you're a racing fan.
Oh, yes, I am. Big fan. I go to Daytona 500 every year, and, of course, the Chicagoland races, so I love it.
It's always great to see you, but even for those people that aren't necessarily heading out to a track, there's a lot of places as we get towards the end of the summer before school starts for people to kind of get in the car and enjoy Illinois.
Sure. A couple of my favorites that are close by to the Chicago area is out in the Starved Rock Country area. So you have Matheson State Park and Starved Rock State Park, which, you know, has these amazing waterfalls, hiking trails, and just getting out there and exploring. As a family, I think you can go picnicking and things. But we're also this year excited that the Illinois and Michigan Canal Heritage Area was actually the first National Heritage Area in the country, and they're celebrating their 35th anniversary this year, and it's also out in that same area in LaSalle, and you can do these canal boat rides. So you actually got the mule-pulled boats that you can explore. They're 90-minute tours.
Now, is that one of the things, Jan, where people think of, you know, they think of, you know, great agricultural farmland and all the rural things that we have here here to offer in Illinois. And you think, of course, of Chicago, that when it comes to places like Starved Rock, for those people who haven't been there, you got to get out there. I mean, it's some natural beauty that people just kind of overlook Illinois there.
I know. And I think sometimes that's the misperception, that we do not have these great state parks. And we've got an abundance of natural resources. So in that area and then in southern Illinois, so there's these great outdoor experiences that people just really need to get out and explore.
I wanted to ask you about, and this is a thing, it's on the license plates, it's our identity as we travel. People bring it up, you know, Land of Lincoln and all that kind of stuff. But the presidential museums are great wherever you can find them. But the Lincoln one is really something special. And I want to make the kids think, oh, geez, that sounds like school. But it is educational, but it's really a cool thing to check out.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, everybody walks out of there is just completely amazed, because it takes you all through Lincoln's life, but it's also got these immersive, you know, theater experiences where, you know, you're seeing holograms, and, you know, it's just a very cool experience. And then actually going through Lincoln's life all the way through the White House years and stuff, but it's all highly interactive, engaging, so everyone loves to explore that. And then, of course, you can see, you know, Lincoln's home, the only home he ever owned in Springfield, go to the tomb where Lincoln, his wife, and three of his four children are buried, and you always have to go and rub his nose for good fortune. So those are some fun things that you can do while you're down here in Springfield.
Rub his nose for good fortune.
Yeah, it's actually one of the 10 luckiest places in the world.
Who's the one compiling that list?
I mean, if you Google it, 10 luckiest places in the world, no matter who's put that list out, it'll be on there. Rubbing Lincoln's nose at Lincoln Tomb. Yeah, it's right up there with the Barney Stone.
Great. Well, we've got to promote that. I know that a lot of, not only kids, but, you know, adults and certainly, you know, 4-H kids and certainly some bands and people that are fans of, whether it's great festival food or music or even racing, are enjoying the opportunity for the Illinois State Fair to start it now. But for those people who have not been, but maybe have been to a carnival or maybe even like a county fair, explain the scope, kind of the range of fun and cool things that you see at the Illinois State Fair.
Sure. So it started Thursday and it runs through Sunday, August 18th. So it's a great time to still get down here and see everything. But, you know, you have the giant slide, you have the carnival rides that you'd see at a lot of the, you know, county fairs and everything like that. But we also have this amazing conservation world at the state fair. So your kids can learn about boating and fishing and all sorts of outdoor activities. And they really do a nice job of doing that. But also the agricultural barn. So sometimes kids aren't in the city, sometimes haven't seen, you know, cows and goats and sheep and all of that, and you can really go through that, and they have harness racing, so it's a great agricultural experience as well as having the carnival food and all the concerts. So they have some great concerts each evening, so it's just a fun experience as a family.
Yeah, Old Dominion is going to be there. There's a country fan favorite, Snoop Dogg. You've got, I think, Vince Neil is going to be there, the former singer from Motley Crue, Reba McEntire. So you really do have, even though it is, and you think of like a, you know, a state fair is more of sort of a kind of a country kind of situation, but you really do have music that covers everybody.
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they try to appeal. The Pentatonix is there, Dan and Shay also, and like you said, Snoop Dogg. So they've really got a good lineup this year to reach a lot of different folks.
All right, we're going to let the listeners know we're talking with Jan Kemmerling. She is with the Illinois Office of Tourism. She is one of their visionary leaders there, explaining and sharing not only the luckiest places in the world, some which happen to be here, but also places that you can go. I've got to ask you, and this is something we cover a lot of the food here at WGN. When it comes to the fair, there are things, whether it's, you know, funnel cakes or elephant ears or things that you just don't find everywhere else. And so what are some of your favorites? Do you have some things you enjoy?
Well, as you know, for the fair, it's everything fried on a stick. So no matter what it is, you can get it at the state fair. But obviously, the pork patio and a corn dog is some of my favorites, the French fries and some of that. But, I mean, each year they come out with something new on a stick that you just got
to
try.
Well, you know, and of course, trying to keep it authentic, right, to Illinois delicacies. And that's why, I guess, especially current with the Chicago situation in the news, we have the fried alligator bites. So that's one of our, I don't know, Jan, did you hear, you're down there in Springfield, that we had an alligator situation?
So. I did hear hear that. I thought that was a big deal, and then I guess the person who caught it got around and got on the news and got to tell the story about it. So that's pretty cool.
Not only that, yet he threw out a first pitch at the Cubs. He was,
oh my gosh,
he's a local celebrity now, so you never know when your 15 minutes is going to start ticking.
That's so true.
So for people who want to get and find some of these great locations, and there are some great ones, so many. Mm-hmm. Can you give a website where for the Illinois tourism for people to check it out?
Yeah, so go to enjoyillinois.com and we'll give you some great trip inspiration ideas there. Please follow us on our social channels at Enjoy Illinois. And then when you're out exploring all these great places in Illinois, be sure to hashtag Enjoy Illinois so we can use some of your great photos on our website.
It sounds great, and encourage people to get to Route 66 as well. That's one of those things. So, Jan, we're going to let you get back to planning. I guess everybody else is right with all the advice side, but planning your big vacations as well for the rest of summer. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you. We'll see you at the track. So Jan is a big fan. Like, I got a chance to see her, and actually, I think she was in on a dinner that we had at the Daytona 500. She's at Chicagoland Speedway. So not as only is she kind of shaping and sharing a great tourist and vacation destinations here in Illinois, but she's a big racing fan. It's very cool. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Sarah about, there's a huge car show. We talk about a lot of them. They're happening in a bunch of great places all around the Chicagoland area, whether it's Westmont, whether it is Naperville, whether it's Lombard. Roselle has a great cruise night, and they've got a big event that's coming up next week at Chicagoland Speedway, and so we're going to talk with Sarah about that from the track when we come back. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm Larry McReynolds with Fox NASCAR, and you're listening to On the Road with Dane Neal, WGN Radio.
720 WGN On the Road, live here in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicagoland, and we can see, well, we can't see all the way to Chicagoland, but it was we can see that Larry Mack is a huge AC/DC fan. Nobody knew that, but you know it here because we're breaking all the big stories, including, and we talked with Jan Kemmerling from the Illinois Tourism Association about Route 66 and making that one of your family road trips, and why not make a stop at Route 66 and the Chicagoland Speedway, that great complex there. Here to tell us all about it is Sarah Playa. Sarah, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. I appreciate you having me on.
It's always great to have you on, and for great reasons, too, because you never just come on and you're just like, I don't know, what are you doing? You've always got something cool, and when you can describe what it is you've got as the ultimate trip down memory lane, that's something big.
Yes, absolutely. This is one of my favorite events that we host at our drag strip, Route 66 Raceway. It is truly like stepping into a time warp. It's awesome.
It's a time machine, so it is, and people love these, and I tell you, and I'll contend Chicagoland and the area has a love affair with the automobile and with kind of the cruise night phenomenon, showing off those great conversations people have, whether it's cars from, you know, from early, you know, from like the 20s or back when maybe cars just first started being created, all the way up to some of the great ones of today, and like you said, a time warp, so some of those muscle cars that people are so fond of. So talk a little bit about what's happening, at least that part, the car show element for the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've seen a huge outpour of classic cars for this event. Obviously, it is our classic car event on Route 66 Raceway. But you see those classic cars traveling the Mother Road and stopping at our drag strip. We've seen about 500 cars the last several years. We have a new and improved parking area so that we can accommodate every single car that comes in. Cars entering between 10 a.m. and noon that are 1987 or older get that throwback pricing of only $25 a car. That includes parking, that includes everyone in your vehicle, so it's really that sweet deal. So between 10 a.m. and noon, you come in, you can park along 499 other classic vehicles, all 1987 or older, and that's just the start of this event.
So if you thought you were young out there, check your ID and your car. If your car is 87 and older, then it's a vintage car. You're going to get in there. You can fill your car with all of the people that want to get out there and enjoy the event, and there's going to be a lot of cars, not only yours, but like you said, 499 other ones to look at. Plus, there's a lot of cool stuff, too. I'm sure there's going to be some food, some games, and then you guys have the Miss Classic Pinup Contest, and this has turned into really some bragging rights, right?
Yes, absolutely. So this is the third year of our pinup contest. The two previous pinup winners are acting as our spokesmodels as we speak. They're absolutely fantastic. And it really is like your classic pinup style event. It's you know, we have 11 lovely ladies who are going to don that iconic look and compete against each other in front of a panel of judges. And we're going to crown the third annual Miss Classic. It's a really awesome aspect, really brings that classic car and hot rod culture to the event. Definitely one of my favorite parts of the event.
So it's the RC Buick GMC Route 66 Classic. It is Saturday, August 17th, and it wouldn't be a great event without a great cause, and you're building. And you see this, I know we did a car show with Speakeasy, our good friends over there, and they brought in Mutts of the Midway to kind of support sort of dog rescue and adoption that was happening closer to Midway Airport. And you guys have sort of a, like a, I don't want to say it's exactly similar, but you got a good cause involved here. Talk about it.
Absolutely. So we actually, this is probably one of our most charity-focused events. Not only do we partner with Pits for Patriots that provide service dogs at no cost to veterans that are dealing with a number of different issues, but we also, then that's part of our pinup contest. We actually crown what we call a Queen of Hearts. And that Queen of Hearts competition is the pinup ladies that are going into our pits and collecting money from our fans. And then the young lady that collects the most money actually gets crowned our Queen of Hearts. And then all of the proceeds go to that Pits for Patriots organization. And that's not the only thing that we do charity focus wise. We also host what we call the Will County versus Grundy County grudge matches. This year we have five different matches, all made up of Will County and Grundy County officials, and each official gets to pick a charity that's near and dear to their heart. I mean, we're talking about the Joliet mayor. We're talking about the Grundy County sheriff. I mean, all those different dignitaries, they all get to pick a charity that they're racing for. If they win their grudge match, their charity gets $2,000. If they become the runner-up of their grudge match, they get $1,500 for their charity. So this event will see almost $21,000 going to charity from this one event.
Wow. And what a fun way, too, for people in the area to be able to interact with some of those public officials. And I think it's a testament, too, that what you guys have at Route 66 in Chicago and a great relationship with the community, the causes, the public officials, right, in those areas and kind of bringing people together and supporting a lot of the different things that are going on. This is one thing that I thought was really cool and something that is a little special. You don't see this at almost any one of the places. Under the tent in the Vendor Midway event, attendees can explore the area, showcasing the artistic components of hot rod culture. If you'll remember, during the BBQ smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway, our trophies were hot rod inspired trophies. So you saw that the paint and the pinstriping and some of that artistic stuff, which really is an amazing component of a lot of the artistic part of those cars. So share a little bit of that, what people are going to see when they get there.
Absolutely. We partner with an organization called the Chicago Brushmasters. They're most well known for their work with the World of Wheels car show that happens in Rosemont every year around the beginning of March. And they are a group of hot rod and traditional automotive artists, everything from pinstriping to airbrushing to custom lettering. And they produce custom artwork in advance as well as on site. And we auction them off throughout the event for charity, another one of those lovely charity components. But the proceeds from those two auctions go to Ronald McDonald House Charities, and they've raised almost $1 million since their inception for Ronald McDonald House Charities. So you're able to see it. They'll pinstripe, if you come up to that tent, there'll be custom lettering and pinstriping a vintage race car on site under that tent next weekend. And then also, too, like I walked over a couple years ago and I said, hey, like if I give you a donation, will you pinstripe the back of my phone case? And they did it, no questions asked. It was a really cool portion of that event. It really brings in that hot rod culture because it's kind of something that you don't see very often. Now you see those vinyl wraps and everything else.
Yeah.
So to really, you know, you see this next generation of artists come up. It's really awesome.
Oh, you know, so you've got that. You've got the backdrop of one of the most iconic tracks. You've got the backdrop of all of these great cars and the artistic components and certainly all those individuals and personalities making it happen. You got the pinup contest. And then on the entertainment side, right, you've got, you know, the music. You're providing some ambiance that's going to kind of match up with it all.
Absolutely. I don't think an event at our track is complete without music. Music is in our mission statement. So we've got some traditional rockabilly, rock and roll bands that are playing the classic hits from Elvis through the Beatles and more. So you're always going to be jamming. We're encouraging people to don the classic look. We're going to have a salon academy actually doing free pinup hair and makeup so that you can fit in with the full look. I mean, we haven't left any stone unturned when it comes to this event. We really want you to take that step down memory lane with us.
Oh, it's going to be great. So many great things to see and experience. And again, you built in so many good causes and on the entertainment and food side as well. So one more time, if you can, Sarah, give the information about, you know, exactly when it is, how people can get there on the time. I know it's next weekend. It's next Saturday. People show up early. They can get in. How does it all work?
Absolutely. It is next Saturday, August 17. Gates open at 10 a.m., especially if you have that classic car. You want to make sure you come in between 10 a.m. and noon for $25 for your car, including everyone in that car. If you don't have a classic car, but you just like that classic culture, tickets are $18 right now in advance or $22 at the door. Kids tickets are just $5. It's really your family fun, affordable event. Not only did we have that classic car show, that pinup contest, a tiki bar, the classic culture district, all of that. But on top of that, one thing that not very many classic car shows have in our area, if any, is that we have nostalgia match drag racing all day long.
Whoa.
So you have all of that on top of our heart and soul of Route 66 Raceway, which is our drag racing.
Oh, okay. So you've got all the things that you want, all the nostalgia, all the culture, all the cars, and then you actually have action on the track as well. It's amazing. And so I'm guessing Route66Raceway.com for all the information, people to get
absolutely
on the schedules. All right, Sarah, it sounds great. I know a lot of listeners are going to head out there and see you there. It's going to be great. Hoping for some good weather. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks. Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that. Quick break. We'll come back. We're going to send it to news and then come back with Wayne Messmer on the road, 720 WGN.
From the heart of Mid-America, this is Wayne Messmer of the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago Wolves hockey team. You're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
Down 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio high atop Chicagoland, and honored to have on the line with us the voice of the Wolves, the voice of the Cubs, the voice of America as one of the nation's preeminent anthem singers. And as we speak, he and Kathleen are seeing America, seeing maybe some waves of grain, possibly some purple mountain majesties. The one and only Wayne Messmer, welcome to WGN.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay, but not as good as you. This is the kind of thing that I think a lot of people wish they were riding along with you, maybe in a convoy situation or maybe in the next campsite over, but you're on the road, right? You're RVing.
Yeah, you know, we did this last year, and we spoke about it and immediately got the bug. And almost about 2 weeks afterwards, we said, let's keep this year's price and rent next year's RV already. And suddenly next year came and here we are. And taking a distinctly different route, but much smarter this year.
what do you
having
mean?
Well, we made such a list. I mean, Kathleen made such a great list and was very practical about making sure we had everything we needed. So packing this time was easier. The expectations were just more of an anticipation than anything else. And we're in a Class C motorhome, and it's just fun. It's almost exactly the same kind we had last year. So, very familiar and very fun.
And it's not as hard as maybe, you know, it could be kind of either a mysterious or a daunting thing. People think, you know, getting into a motorhome and driving around, but they make them, I guess, where it drives kind of like a car, right? You don't have to be a semi driver to do it.
No, I mean, if you're jumping into the big, gigantic buses, the Class A or even a Class B, but particularly the big ones, the Class A's, that's a different story. But most of us have helped a kid move, or we've moved ourselves and rented a small moving van, and pretty much this is the same. You know, you just get in, and the thing that I love is you look in the rearview mirror, and you're not looking behind you because you're using the side mirrors, but the reflection in the mirror is like, oh, I'm hauling a really nice hotel room suite
yes.
around with me at all times. You know, you're never worried about where you're going to stay that night.
Well, and, okay, so, and describe it, too, for the amenities, right? Because here's the, you know, we all have, and maybe at least I do, you know, kind of painful childhood memories of battling mosquitoes and in a tent that leaks or maybe bumpy ground. This is not that. You get to see and enjoy all of that nature. But like you said, you get to drive around in a nice hotel room.
Yeah, I mean, there's none of that. I mean, there's no wet canvas underneath me, I can promise you that. What we have is You know, a couple TVs, you've got the refrigerator or freezer, comfy place to take a nap or just lay down. And, you know, you press a button and suddenly you've got a nice queen size bed. Roughing it, I wouldn't say no, not at all.
So you're not at one.
Isn't it glamping? Isn't that the word people use?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Right. I guess it's not the most flattering term, but I guess it's probably sort of accurate. Plus, I think you're able to, maybe from a safety perspective, you know, once you're in the confines of your protective cocoon there, it's not like you're, you know, out in the wilderness, you know, at the kind of whim of nature. Cause even depends on where you travel, but even if you're up in Wisconsin, there's bears. You know, maybe you'll run into like a rabid skunk. Who knows?
Yeah, it could happen. I know. Well, we just came across, and this has to be one of the delights of just being on the road, about a 10-mile stretch of freshly paved county highway. And it keeps the pots and pans from rattling. And you really appreciate when you're cruising along, kind of just guiding this couple tons of happiness that you're driving down these country roads where you've never been before. And to me, it's like watching a newsreel happen right before my eyes. It's just, I don't know. If someone who hasn't taken one of these adventures absolutely has to.
Oh, here's the thing. You take, like, I was just about to say that, too. Just the way that you're describing bliss as freshly paved county highway, right? You're the voice of adventure now, Wayne. That's what you're doing. So here's the thing. You said that you learned a little bit about what to do, what not to do. Maybe be drawn in by the world's largest ball of twine or some of those roadside attractions. Or maybe.
Well, I just did take two pictures of two historical markers. So, yes, you do become your dad as you go on these trips, apparently.
No, move over. Let's take a picture. Well, I think there's some education side. You get to see places that maybe you've only read about in books or seen in a documentary. And here's what I think is really cool about it, is that you can go anywhere. You know, imagine wherever, it's the Grand Canyon or the northern Wisconsin or Minnesota or lakes or the East Coast, you can do almost anything. So on your second trip, I'm sure part of it was, well, where are we going to go? How did you choose?
We had talked about a place that we had said, well, maybe someday we'll go visit. And it's Kathleen's cousin up in Ely, Minnesota. Now, you have to really want to go there because it's quite a trip, and it's up near the Boundary Waters. And, you know, I can see Canada from her house, you know, and it's quite a jaunt. But you're up in the North Woods, and you are in a different part of the world altogether. And, you know, we thought, well, let's head that way, and then we'll make some stops along the way with some dear friends in Wisconsin, and then in Minnesota a couple stops, and end up at the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds, and a couple of our grandkids will come over for our final night and kind of have a sleepover with us, so it'll be fun.
Now, are you doing any of the, so you've got the ability to experience the nature and see the sights and kind of, you know, be at one with the elements out there. Do you find yourself maybe getting drawn into maybe some of these wilderness activities? Are you going fishing, you know, or are you like bird watching? Are you doing any of those things you wouldn't normally do here in Chicago?
I found myself, I guess technically I was bird watching today when I saw some hummingbirds. And saw a golden-throated hummingbird, and I thought that was kind of a fun one. And then there's a couple others that we're watching. But a friend of ours, when we stopped to see, had a bird feeder, so I watched the hummingbirds buzzing around. And I did stare at the lake for an extended period of time and thought about the fish, but I did not drop a line.
They're probably better for it, you know, because, you know, usually that doesn't end well, even if it's just a traumatic experience. Now, do you feel like that you get to kind of unplug and be kind of away from all of the outside, or you find yourself trying to check out the scores for, you know, the Cubs game? I mean, or do you really enjoy that whole sort of unplugging?
I like to get away from it. You know, I mean, it's always there, and if you need it, you can take 5 minutes instead of 5 hours to be plugged in, you know, and wait until the end of the night and check in with a score. Nothing you do along the way is going to impact how it's going when the game's already in progress. So I can relax and unplug the moment I turn the key and start the engine on this thing.
So for the listeners that are hearing you and inspired to get out there and do stuff, first off, is there you know, at least a bit of advice as far as a place to go or to choose the type of motorhome that would be great for people that maybe haven't done it? And then,
I would say go to, well, there's a number of places. I mean, we went, I don't know if we're plugging where I went, but it was 94 RV, which is just up near the Illinois-Wisconsin state line, and tremendously helpful and a great orientation program. They showed you exactly how everything works and is zero to be afraid of. And, you know, don't start too big and don't buy before you rent.
I think that's good advice too. And so for the listeners that are texting in wanting to know what's the range for something small to whether I know it can get really, if you've got like the, you know, the tour bus for a rock band kind of thing, but for something that's, you know, that maybe a family can get into, is it an affordable way to get out there and have a vacation and see things?
I suppose it's a little bit on the pricey side. If you it's gonna, well, yeah, it's not cheap, but when you factor it in, that you're able to do cooking and housing and all of the additional travel, you know, factor it on a per diem, it probably works out a family of four or something and can really make it happen pretty affordably.
Yeah, so you're probably right. When you factor in all those things, the hotel stays and everything that goes along with it, it's probably similar. And like you said, too, is you're able to get to places that you wouldn't otherwise be able to visit. Last question, this is it. You know, you're there, and I'm sure just as last year's trip kind of made you think, hey, let's do this, have you started to plan out, like, where's the next place that you guys are thinking to go next time you go RVing?
Yep. This morning, we were already talking about that, and I think it would be Southwest, and I'm not quite sure specifically where, but it may be ending up in, like, Albuquerque or something like that. Go in that direction.
Oh, there's a lot of cool stuff to see down there. Okay, so that's...
Oh, yeah, and I'd like to see Utah and those types of areas.
There's so many great things with the national parks as well, and of course, great parts of our country that it's exciting to get out, kind of see, and actually kind of feel and be a part of as you're there, sort of like in the middle of it all. For those people that want to keep up with your adventures on your trip, I'm sure you're in some whatever ways convenient or possible, you're documenting some of it. Where can they go?
Well, I think I'm going to post a few things on Instagram under Mesmer Wayne, and we'll take it from there. And then I'll no doubt I will do some kind of diary that I've kept along the way, and maybe write some stories and post them on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I know the listeners are excited to hear about it. We talk about road trips all the time, and to have somebody out there experience it and be an enthusiast on all of those things and sharing those adventures with them, I think that that's great. Travel safe, Wayne, and we'll see you back here in Chicago. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Absolutely. And always plan, if you're going to do one of these trips, it helps if the person is going, you're going to be with, you get along with them. Which I do, I'm happy to say. Oh, all right. Thanks. We'll see ya.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm John Forrest, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN, and I'm still the champ. I'm not just Ashley's daughter. I mean, she's my daughter. I'm still her dad.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49. Important distinctions. 720 WGN. On the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicago, as people are looking out on those roadways. Maybe they're driving out on the roadways, contemplating their next big family truckster vacation or the next kind of family getaway, or maybe something that you're going to do and get out there. We've kind of covered sort of the car side of things, maybe a little bit of nature, right, with the Starved Rock. And we got Curtis in for Ash. Now, Ashley's actually walking the walk. She took a family road trip. She is in Michigan as we speak. We've still what is, I would consider, an undisclosed location, so she doesn't have to worry about any kind of issues of, you know, paparazzi or people trying to get out there. And Curtis is in studio. You've done a great job, Curtis.
Thank you.
Don't put any pressure for the last 6.5 minutes, but but you're going to be taking sort of a family road trip pretty soon, right?
Yeah, my family and I were making the trek down to Florida. At the end of the month, we're going to Disney for about a week, and then we'll come back. That's our family vacation.
So you guys, now are you a Disney enthusiast? Do you get
my family is, I don't get the Mickey ears. My sister is the bigger enthusiast out of everybody in the family.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've gone to Disney for almost every year for a while now.
Wow.
And we have
do you find, like, I know they're always, and of course, and we were just there earlier this spring, and it's an amazing place and so much to see and do. You could probably, it would take you a whole week to kind of try to just get you know, towards seeing most of it, and they always build new stuff, but every year, really?
Oh, yeah. There's so much different stuff that takes place. This year, we're going to be, we're excited because this year we'll get to do the Food and Wine Festival.
Nice.
Which takes place during this time, and earlier on in the spring, they do the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yes.
And we'll also be there, too. This is the second time we're going to be able to do this. This is the not-so-scary Halloween party that they throw, so they actually
have select dates. And that's really in the branding, right?
It's yeah.
Because they want to make sure that, you know, that it is, you know, bring the kids, it's okay.
Yeah, and then they have, like, the Halloween parades and, like, the Headless Horseman walks around. It's pretty cool. It's a really fun time. Can't complain, and plus the weather, too, is beautiful down there. So a little humid at times, but, I mean, that's to be expected in Florida.
Well, and here's one of the things that people, and if you haven't been there, I don't know, you, probably a lot of people have been there, but if you want to make a trip down there, one of the cool things about it, you mentioned the Food and Wine situation, is they do that in sort of in Epcot, and Epcot has that World Showcase where mm-hmm. you... There's attention. It's not a substitute. I've had people say, I don't need to travel. I've been to Epcot. And yes, they do, you know, try to be as authentic as possible. They build in elements from those countries. And oftentimes, really all the time, really, the people working there are sort of, I don't know, it's foreign exchange employees, cast mm-hmm. members, if you will, from those countries. So you get to see, you know, people that are really from, you know, let's say, you know, China or Mexico or some of the other places. But it's no substitute for actually going to the countries. But it's,
yeah.
But on the food and wine side, it's really cool because you get to have that in that setting. So it isn't just in a banquet hall somewhere. You get to kind of sort of see the world while you're dining.
Yeah, and you get to taste different stuff because there's a few places that in that World Showcase that have restaurants associated with those countries. And some of the places there don't serve specific things. And you can get those at the little vendors out and stuff outside of the area while you're walking around. It's a really fun time for a lot of families to go down there. And of course, the new thing this year is actually we didn't even plan this, but when we booked it about
Gatorland, you're going to go to Gatorland?
No. Star Wars Land, the Disney World Star Wars Land opens up literally 2 days before we get down there. So that's going to be one heck of a crowded environment at the Hollywood Studios.
The anticipation has been so high for that ride in specific, or for that area, that kind of theme park zone that they've built there. As you can imagine, right, Star Wars is big, but also it's the ride, which is sort of, isn't it sort of like a Han Solo kind of Millennium Falcon sort of ride?
Yeah, that's the one I think at Disneyland. I don't know if Disney World is the
is
same or
yet?
If it's different. Yeah, I don't know what the ride situation is there, but it's actually kind of interesting because the Disneyland, the crowd attendance hasn't been too heavy, even with the opening of Star Wars Land, and that's mainly because a lot of people assume that it's going to be so crowded that they just kind of avoid it at all costs.
They had news reports that it was like 6 hour,
yeah.
or maybe even more, 6 hour, 8 hour waits, and you might not even get in.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so I'm hoping that's not the case when we go down to Florida, but we're hoping that we'll at least get to see a little bit of the new Star Wars Land.
Well, you know that if you follow Curtis and his family, you're going to follow them down to Disney World. You're going to see some of the sights there, maybe an alligator or two, maybe in a confined.
Maybe we'll pay Chance the Snapper a visit.
Maybe. Do we know where he is?
He's in Florida somewhere.
Can you imagine him up against some plexiglass with the phone saying, hey, you got to get me out of here? Why wouldn't they just leave him up here? I think someone should bring him back.
Brookfield Zoo could have made a killing on that if they would have kept him. I'm not an animal expert, so maybe Brookfield Zoo wouldn't have maybe been the appropriate place for him. I don't know. But
I think it's
Lincoln Park Zoo for that matter, too.
You have a celebrity kind of attraction
there.
I think that would be, of course, you could just get probably any old alligator as long as it was
right. And claim it was Chance.
Right. Yeah, you're gonna do a 23andMe on him. All right, if you want to follow Curtis, you're going to go to Disney World in the near future. If you follow us tonight, we want to encourage people to get down there. We have talked with these guys, we have seen the show, we've promoted it. It is one of the top, it's the top reality-based television show on cable television. It's the Impractical Jokers, and Curtis, you're familiar with these guys as well. I'm sure you've seen them on your television.
Oh yeah,
they are performing live in the Kranjus Summer Spectacular at Tinley Park tonight. They're going to be down there at the, I think it's Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And it is a full-blown, it is beyond the normal kind of show that they do. They've got a bunch of other talent and comedians. They've got sort of a museum, if you will, that has, you know, some of the props and artifacts from the show. And of course you can go to probably Ticketmaster or Live Nation or some of the places that sell tickets. There are tickets available, some you want to get out there, but it's going to be a bunch of fun, and we're going to be out there. So if you see us, definitely stop by tackle us, I guess, if you will, and say hi. So have you ever seen him live?
I have not. That's been something I've been wanting to do. I just love that show in general, Impractical Jokers. I think it's hilarious.
It's so crazy because it's so unscripted and just so random. They've gotten to a point now, they do cruises and they're doing movies and a game show, because I think once, and we saw this with Ashton Kutcher in Punk'd or whatever, so once you get famous enough where people recognize you, you can't do that kind of show anymore, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. We're going to take a break. We're going to have some news. We're going to come back. We're going to send it to White Sox Weekly. So keep it here on the road with Dane, 720 WGN.